Hey y'all, I'm Anthony.
And I'm Fiona.
And this is
That's Some Talk, a podcast where we dish about wine
and serve the tea on one little episode. All right, podcast number two. Honestly, really exciting that we can do this because for a second, I'm just going to futz with my phone real quick to make sure it's still okay. Yeah, it's still recording. We were trying to do this once a week, but we're actually starting a little later in the week than we were last week just because of our schedules and stuff. But I got a new job, so cheers to that. Woo! So we're drinking a French Malbec today, and it is a liquor store wine.
Delicious, delicious liquor store wine. And it's not, like, unreasonably priced, right? It's, like, $12?
It's $12. So yeah. We started drinking this wine a couple months back because I had, like, a perk at this one place I was working at where we could buy, like, the wines at cost, and I was buying really great wine. And it was still hurting my bank, and I wanted a cheaper alternative to something that I could have stocked in my fridge. And this has been my go-to. The name, what's the name on this label? What's the producer?
Cuvées.
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 Yeah.
Pidot. So, you know, it's like a Malbec region.
And most people are familiar with, like, Argentine Malbecs, but Malbec is a French grape.
It's a French grape, yes. Indication géographique protégée. So, you know, like, not the cream of the crop, but you know, still.
Can you explain that to
not as well as I could. I don't. I
basically
would have to,
there's like levels.
There
right?
are there in France they there are denominations of wine based on first region, and then like within the region there are like varying levels of like what they would consider quality. You know, you have your like table wine, your like slightly more expensive wine, and then you know, like you get into your like grands. Like at my old place, there's the we categorized it as Viage, Reserve, and Grand Reserve, which has nothing to do with actual French.
It was their own classification.
Yeah, French classification is hard because within every region they have their own version of classification, and so I don't actually know everything because honestly I've not tried to learn it because it is so convoluted.
Yeah, so I bought this at a liquor store down the street in Lincoln Heights, LA. I honestly think it stands up. I'm pretty surprised that they have it because some liquor stores are just gonna have your like what your cupcake,
your Yellowtail.
Yeah. This liquor store has some cool. They have like Penfolds. They've got
which also I do have opinions about. Right. But like
they're kind of a thing. At least. It's like a little thing, bit. Yeah. This is my go-to because for $12, it's like. It's, how would we describe this? It's definitely more fuller-bodied, definitely pretty tannic.
Yeah, but
it's
I would say...
medium full-bodied.
It's an approachable. It's like, if there are two people, one of them is, like, wine literate, and one of them is like really likes Napa Cabernet, like, this is a perfectly fine thing to give the table.
Got it. Yeah. Totally.
Should I go into more detail about that?
No, not at all. And I think people need to know that we like to temper reds, so, like, we do... chill our reds before and then just kind of let them like even out through drinking
them. Yeah, because there is so like the something that you ask a lot is it cellar temp? And like drinking wine above what like 60 something degrees is really unpleasant.
Especially when you're in a warmer climate like Southern California, which is where we live.
Well, also like you're not going to get wine that's that warm in a colder climate.
Yeah.
You know, like
unfortunately like even like the restaurant where I'm at now, like we are catering to like an older clientele where like the expectation is that we're serving like wine at like room temp, but I just feel like that's like, even in LA where temperatures, you know, the coldest it gets over here is like high 40s.
It's gross. Like last night when we were at, can I say it?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. When we were at Molly's last night.
Name drops are happening.
I have opinions.
So we were at Wally's because we were at in Santa Monica because we were drinking at Esther's, which was awesome.
Awesome. So yeah, if anyone like needs like Santa Monica wine, referrals, like we are Esther's is so great.
They were drinking this amazing like dry Riesling from like Finger Lakes area, New York, Hudson area. super weird on the nose.
That was another thing that you and I had, like, very different sensibilities about, because mm-hmm. I was like, it was interesting at first, and then it got kind of more boring along the way, and you were like, no, I'm finding it, like, to be, like, funky and interesting.
I just smelled a Jura nose, but I did like how on the palate it was, like, crisp, spring. I just felt like it was nutty and funk on the nose. I felt like that didn't, like, change, but I liked how I was doing two things at once, because I like when it's a weird nose and, a nice, easy palate, mm-hmm. because for me, I like to smell my wine and be like, oh, like, for me, the journey on the nose is fun, and then I like being tricked on the palate.
Yeah.
Especially because we were eating charcuterie, cheese, arugula salad. Mm-hmm. I had some like chocolates at the end, so I thought that wine was pretty like versatile for all of those things.
I still disagree. I still don't think it. Like I think especially with the chocolate at the end, it just became water. Like it was just there wasn't anything left that was interesting on the palate once mm-hmm. you get like once your like mouth is coated in chocolate and like that's all you.
The chocolate taste. Was super rich and it was dense, so I actually only they gave us 5 or 6 pieces and
we
each only had one. I took the rest home. I think I might have some. Let me actually double check to see how this pairs with the red wine.
I can't eat anymore because we already cards on the table. We already went out for dinner. And...
I don't know where I put it. It might still be in my car. Honestly, is it in my? Oh, I think it's maybe in this tote bag. Oh, it's in the tote bag.
Oh.
All right. Well.
Can we cut them in half?
Yeah. Or like, yeah. I'll get a knife.
I don't want to eat an entire one. The fact of the matter is, I'm gonna say I don't want to eat an entire one, and I'm gonna eat like 4 of them because.
Yeah, they were a lot. Chocolate champagne, like fudge. Yeah, what's...
I need to listen back to that. Did you eat, like, another one of these?
Just now I ate, like, half of them.
Oh. And, like, there's fewer of them left than I remember.
Yeah. There's, like, 3, right?
Yeah. Okay. One of them's a baby. He also, like, gave them to us for free, which I thought was very nice. Sweet. Yeah.
I couldn't tell if he did that because we weren't eating them, or if he just liked us.
You know, I don't know. It's unclear.
The service is probably, this podcast is probably just as much about service as it is about wine.
Yeah, well, can we go back to Wally's? Uh-huh. Okay, so we wanted to get, like, another little drink after having dinner. And so, of the things that are open, you know, late enough because these are COVID times, mm-hmm. Wally's was one of the options. And for anyone who doesn't know, Wally's is a small chain of wine bars here in LA.
It's like wine specialists, but they, like, do table service.
Yeah, it's like a... It's kind of a store, kind of a wine bar. I don't know.
They front like a wine store.
Yeah.
They make their aesthetic.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's lots of people who really enjoy it. I'm not one of those people.
It's like really like classic in like the boring way.
Mm-hmm. And so.
So we both had Burgundies.
We both had Burgundies. I had a red Burgundy.
I had a Chablis.
Yeah. The Chablis was leaps and bounds better than my Burgundy. My Burgundy tasted like it was a Sonoma Pinot Noir.
Mm-hmm.
And it was as warm as though it had been on a heater before coming to the table.
Like
it
toasty.
Was so gross. But it was so late that I didn't want to make a fuss. And also, like, honestly, our server was creepy.
Okay. We have different opinions about this, but he definitely wasn't COVID appropriate because he was, like...
He was touching us.
He was touching us on the arms and stuff. He was getting way too close. He was treating us like a couple, which I...
It's always a weird thing.
It's weird because it's like, read the room. I'm like straight as a circle. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? I'm not like...
I'm sorry that my sexual energy throws out so vastly that like any man that I'm with, it seems as though I'm maybe ready to be...
Or maybe he thinks you're my beard.
Maybe.
But yeah, I mean, whatever. It was kind of overpriced too.
It was way overpriced.
Yeah.
It just like, it was subpar. It was too expensive for what it was. And like... And like you were asking about the Amaros, and then like when you were like, I don't think I'm gonna have one, he was like making this whole like
next time you have to order one kind of
ha,
thing.
Ha, ha. Uh-huh. And also like he was saying that he made this whole like, well, she's gonna get it and she's gonna tell you.
Yeah, I hate that.
I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't even show interest in wanting an Amaro. Like first of all, like why don't I have a voice in this conversation?
Yeah, as a server, I like never. Try to make the other person uncomfortable by like leveraging the other person at the table, unless that's the dynamic that the table has given me. Like, and even then, I'm really careful to actually like do anything about that. I kind of just encourage people to be who they're being at the table. Right. So it was very weird to have him like utilize you as the reason why I should order on tomorrow because you were giving him no inclination that like you had no opinion in the situation.
Right.
So yeah, it was just strange.
It's something that happens to me a lot though. I don't know if it's like my personality or if it's like being a woman where like. People will put words in my mouth and like put like ideas on to me that like don't belong to me.
And then we're like too nice. Like we're not going to say anything. We're just going
to
be like,
well, I also don't want to get into it. I want them to leave as fast as possible. And in my experience, the way to make people leave is to ignore them.
Yeah, just be quiet. Yeah, because that's usually, it's the game we play.
That was also my mean girl thing in high school.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. If someone came up to me and like I did not want to talk to them, I'd be like, okay.
Well, for me, he wasn't like, I didn't hate the guy. I just thought he wasn't, I just didn't think he knew what he was doing. Like, I think he probably works with a very different clientele than you and I.
Yeah.
That part of Santa Monica is, it was bougie. It was bougie all around us. It was really cis hetero. But our time at Esther's was great. Like, easy serving.
Yeah.
Sam was great.
She was really lovely.
Yeah.
Even our server, he was like so upfront about like, I don't actually know anything about the
he
list.
Didn't though, he didn't say that. He said our Riesling that we wanted to order was definitely sweet, and then when we talked to our som, they were like, no, it's not sweet at all. So this is the other thing, is make sure to, like, if you're really curious about a wine and if you're at a wine spot and they do have a som, like, talk to the som.
Yeah,
the server's great, but they're like, not, they don't need to know all those things. It's like not their expectation. They just need to be able to cover the floor and like deliver good service.
Mm-hmm.
But just judging by what that Riesling was and then running it through Vivino, I already knew it was not going to be a sweet Riesling, but obviously Rieslings just read as sweet. Mm-hmm. So like if a server is just kind of going to BS you, they're going to pull that out of their back pocket.
Right. Especially like when you, there are obviously, maybe not obviously, for everybody from now on should know, there are certain characteristics that go with certain grapes. And I feel like that is like the number one thing that you will ever learn when you're learning about wine. Different grapes, in a very like strict idea, have different characteristics. Mm-hmm. You can express them differently.
Uh-huh.
But like, even like historically speaking, you don't in America find dry Riesling until 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it existed before that, but like it wasn't cool until 10 years ago.
I mean, it was cool. I learned that like a wine valley was like in Ohio, and it, due to rot, moved up to like the like lakes area in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you for New York State, like, you can get some cool wines out of this out of that area, because the lakes basically prevent like the land from freezing. So that's why this, like, I feel like there are a good amount of like Rieslings being made up in like upstate.
Yeah, I mean, like, it makes sense, but this is also like a slightly more complex like version of the, like, there are ways in which like wine is expressed and varietals are expressed, and yeah, it does depend on where the grape is being grown, but not only that, it also depends on like who's making it.
Yeah.
At what point, like, where they're growing it, at what point they're harvesting it.
Well, we liked what we heard, because like anytime we hear like natural wine, anytime we hear, what was the process with which this wine was made? Whole cluster fermentation.
Yeah, it was unfined, unfiltered, because those, so my thing, anytime that I had to pour wine at my old place, my little spiel was unfined, unfiltered, all that buzzword compliant shit.
You said that at the table? So they must have loved it.
They loved it.
And with that said, the wine was like a little slightly carbonic because of mm-hmm. just like the nature of how it's being produced. Mm-hmm. So it was a little fizzy. It was definitely like crisp and grassy. I thought it would have a nutty nose. The wine that we're drinking now,
I'm trying to get a nose on it.
Yeah. It's definitely,
it's a Malbec.
It's floral. It's aromatic.
Yeah. But it also has like some dark fruit, mm-hmm. even on the nose. Like it smells like, like a plum.
Yeah.
But like a plum that like, is it like a mealy plum?
I feel like it's definitely like a plum that's been out for a while.
Yeah. So it's like a little bit mealy. It's a little too soft.
It's like perfect for like baking.
Yeah. Ooh, if you're going to make a clafoutis.
Honestly, I think this wine's underpriced in a great way. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a wine that if you paid, sorry, I keep moving this mic. If you paid $15 for this wine, you would not bat an eye.
Yeah. And like, honestly, like on the palate, I couldn't tell you what it tastes like. Like, it's pretty unoffensive.
It's just it's definitely tannic.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely like more fuller bodied.
It's got a little bit of fruit to it, but like not an offensive amount of fruit.
Yeah.
Like, it tastes like,
this is perfect table wine.
It tastes like underripe cherries, kind of.
Yeah.
Like the dark cherries. Like, what are those Bing cherries? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Like the dark red cherries. Any of the people out there in the internet who listen, if you can tell me what like the dark red cherries are called, that would be great. Because like there's a whole variety of cherries. There's mm-hmm. like the pinky, yellowy ones. There's the,
I'm not good at cherries. I'm not cherry verse.
This is another one of those things where it's like, even though I don't know all the names of them, I'm like, if someone were to like tell me like the names, I could like pick it up pretty easily, just because I recognize them and I know like when cherry season is.
Is this going well with the chocolate?
I haven't eaten a piece of chocolate yet. I'm sorry.
Here's a micro piece.
Gracias. This is something that I was thinking about tonight when we were having dinner, and I was like, I really like how there's so much rosemary in all of this, and you were like, there's rosemary in this.
I taste it in the one pasta, but not in anything else, yeah.
But, like, it's because I got into cooking a lot, like, a long time ago, and you're just starting to get into cooking.
I barely cook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then
I'm lazy.
I've also been working in the restaurant industry for 15 years.
Yeah. And I've been eating for 15 years plus.
So. You know, like
I didn't eat for the
I
first.
I have a fake ID.
I didn't eat for the first 13 years, yeah. Cat's a cat.
Actually,
I just subsisted on water.
With the chocolate.
It works.
It's honestly like it's more fruit forward with the chocolate.
Yeah, you taste raspberries out of the chocolate all of a sudden. It works.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
It's way more interesting than the wine last night was.
Feeling that I just like lean red a lot, so like
we've been trying. Red is easier.
It is. So we've been trying to like be a little bit more like I think we've been more trying to dare ourselves into like whites and oranges mm-hmm. when we're out to eat because
I do really love an orange wine.
Yeah, and I mean we've been doing red for months, so mm-hmm. I think we're just a little bored right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
I think especially like once the summer comes around, all I'm gonna want to drink are Rieslings.
For me, it's going to be, like, Rosados, which we know I like, and I don't know, I've never had a Piquette. Maybe I'll try that and like it.
No.
What's a Piquette again? Do we know?
No.
I can pull it up, but I'm lazy. No! Fiona's pulling it up on her phone. My phone's the one recording.
Oh my goodness. Piquette. Piquette is a French wine term which commonly refers to a vinous beverage produced by adding water to grape pomace.
Okay.
But sometimes refers to a very simple wine or wine substitute.
Okay.
It's just like a low ABV. Do you want me to read the Eater article?
It's like in a Moosh Boosh. Yeah, let's pull that up.
I already have.
Cool.
It's low ABV wine that's like...
Perfect for summer.
Yeah.
It's like the White Claw alternative to wine.
I know, but like...
I never had one, so I can't actually say that for sure.
I'm sure I have now that we're reading about it, but I would like... But I'm sure I would enjoy it. I just, we'll have one this
year. We have to have one. We can't knock it before
I just know, like, on a regular basis, I'm going to want to be drinking Riesling, Pet Nats, especially, like, summertime Pet Nats.
Yeah, get me a Pet Nat.
And then, like, some weird Greek wine. Because, like, summertime.
Well, I just want to be in Greece.
Yeah. But, like, summertime to me says, like, funky Greek wine. And I know that, like, this is a very specific moment in my life. So, like, I'm going to shout out the person who knows who I'm not going to actually say his name. But, it speaks to summer 2019 when I would go to Lewes. And get like two bottles of wine, and one would be a white, and one would be a red, and like the red would always be like some kind of weird green.
Were you part of like a wine club there?
In my heart.
Yeah. You're probably the one at Tableau though, right?
No, I've never joined a wine club. The closest I came to joining a wine club was at Soul Miner, because I fucking love Soul Miner.
Soul Miner's the best.
It's so good.
Yo, like the wine coming out of Central Coast in California.
I think it's like some of the coolest wine that's like being produced mm-hmm. in America right now.
Yeah.
Forget
Napa and Sonoma, y'all. It's like...
And I almost feel like it's overplayed. I feel like everybody, like all the cool people have already been through, but like I still find stuff to love about that area.
It's fun. Like if you go through Los Olivos, it's literally a wine drinking town.
I really, really, really want to do Lo-Fi next. If I can get... Because that's the thing about Jolly Oyster in Culver City. They have a Lo-Fi Pinot Noir, and that's the entire reason I want to go there.
Okay, then we had to go.
Yeah. Also oysters. Like,
who doesn't like... I mean, there are people who don't like oysters.
They don't get it.
They don't get it. Today we went to Union in Pasadena. Mm-hmm. Shout out Union.
So good.
I drank a really nice, like kind of medium bodied, like sparkling, like rosé. Mm-hmm. And then I do not remember my white wine.
You had a Finaco. Oh,
I had the Fiano. Yeah, no, that was great. Super juicy, mm-hmm. fruity.
Yours was really. I preferred the Fiano in certain ways. I didn't think I was going to like it from reading it on the menu, but I thought like it was actually really nice.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be too acidic, which it was not.
Yeah.
Like, that's my fear about all Italian
wine. I first ordered a Rosato, which I always think is tart and plucky, and it was boring. Mm-hmm. I honestly felt like it was flat. Mm-hmm. I felt like it hadn't had the... I thought it was an open bottle of wine that didn't have the air taken out of it the night before.
That's how I feel about most Rosato in general, though. I feel like Rosato, like, Italian Rosato is never that interesting to me.
I'm glad I asked to switch it out,
though. It's always, like, a little too, like... It tastes like dirt. And not in, like, a fun way.
Not, like, barnyardy.
No.
It was bland. Yeah. It was flat.
Yeah. I had a chilled rad, and I can't remember the grape.
It was a super... No, it wasn't super Tuscan.
No.
Yeah, I don't remember the grape either.
It was really good and, like, natty mm-hmm. and, like...
And then you switched to what?
I got the Sangiovese.
Was it the Sangiovese Nebbiolo?
Uh-huh.
Or was it the super Tuscan?
No, it was the Sangiovese Nebbiolo.
Got it.
And it was like a little Christmas spices, which was like a pleasant surprise.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's kind of probably the Nebbiolo being a little mm-hmm. tannic on your palate. But yeah, I feel that.
I usually, like, again, like, I'm not the biggest fan of Italian wine. I'm, like, in general. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not my favorite. It's a little too acidic in general for me. But I really enjoyed both of those glasses.
Yeah. And we were at an Italian restaurant, so that's why we were drinking this wine. Right. I have to specify, yeah, Union is an Italian restaurant
in Pasadena.
Yeah, that got, like, some sort of Michelin cred in 2019.
And they probably Gourmand.
Good Gourmand, yeah.
Yeah.
We could. We got the arugula salad. We got, what was our other starter?
That mushroom polenta.
Oh, that was amazing.
That was, that was what had rosemary in it. Yeah. And it was like marsala and rosemary and the mushrooms. And so you had all this like umami with that like marsala, which like cut through with the acid. And then we had polenta for this like really like delicious creaminess.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. It was so good.
And then we went and we had as our entree two pastas. And we had a cavatelli that was like, it had some shrimp and it was like in this like cool red sauce.
Good. It was okay. It was kind of like a smoky Diavolo.
Mm-hmm. But then the real winner, I thought the squid ink pasta was amazing.
You know, like I said this before Anthony and I went out. I'm not a huge fan of squid ink pasta. Mm-hmm. Every time I have squid ink pasta, I think to myself, this tastes like eating an old clam that has been oversalted.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about this?
I thought it was delicious. Yeah. It was really well done.
Had truffle in it.
The truffle, and the truffle kind of helped to offset it. And I know every other person who has ever worked in the restaurant industry is cringing when I say the word truffle. And like the people that I've worked with are cringing because we had many of truffle menu.
And we're saying that just because when you work in the service industry, truffle is a moment.
Yeah.
Because guests love truffle.
It also lasts for like a very long period of time. And at a certain point, you do get sick of smelling truffle.
Yeah. I'm still like in that moment where I love truffle, but some people like overdo truffle on dishes.
Well, it's not just that. It's like I had to carry out a box of truffles to every table, and like
I was the one shaving truffles on pastas and stuff at the one restaurant I worked at.
Sure, try it on three dishes.
And then we had to like weigh them every time we brought them back to kitchen.
Sure, yeah.
And then chef would basically tell us whether or not we did a good job eyeing like 2 or 3 grams, however many that, you know, we did.
Yeah.
And like truffles break off sometimes while you're doing it, and like a big chunk will end up on multiple occasions.
Have like accidentally launched an entire truffle into people's meals.
And they don't care. They're like, keep it coming.
They're like, I would love to have this. Can I have it? Yeah. And like, I guess it's yours now.
Yeah. No, for me, I'd be like, oh my God, no, too much.
No, you should never. This is another piece of advice. Don't eat an entire truffle. It's not good. It's dirt.
It's just money, which is why I think people associate it with good.
I mean, like, I can shave gold onto your plate too, but like, do you want to taste like a mouthful of metal? No.
Yeah, no. You're tasting the wine skin.
It tastes a lot more like raspberry. Like the wine.
Yeah, I agree. It's like by
like
no means.
Like cassis.
It does taste like cassis. Mm-hmm. It's by no means a favorite wine of mine. But this wine is just so easy to buy.
Yeah, there is a difference there's a difference between the wine that you like drink on a regular basis and the wine that you're like, I'm excited about this.
Yeah.
This is wine that you want to have in your fridge.
This is wine that someone randomly came over and you're like, what do I got?
Yeah.
That's why I like having it stocked. $12.
It's easy.
NBD. No big deal. Yeah. But last night, so when we bought this, we also bought some Jameson. Because Fiona and I went to the McDonald's after our dinner, and I basically forced her to get fast food with me. And she was talking up the Shamrock Shake, which I had never had before.
Which is fine, but like Shamrock Shakes hold a special place in my heart because my birthday is in March. Mm-hmm. And so like as a child, like I had this like vivid like memory of like March is special because Shamrock Shakes are in March and like that's my birthday and like everything's so great about it. Mm-hmm. So I did kind of put the pressure to get a Shamrock Shake if we were going. And then I said, well, you know what we need now is Jameson to put into the Shamrock Shake.
And we watched the most recent episode of RuPaul's Drag Race UK 2.
It was great.
It was so good. She had never watched RuPaul's Drag Race.
Did you guys
before.
Know that RuPaul's Drag Race is a really good show?
Yeah, I did. That's shade. But there was a really cool, I had to show her this like song that's like, essentially going viral right now in the UK called UK Hun, like You OK Hun. So we were just like watching the show, drinking our Shamrock Shakes with Jameson. Mm-hmm. They were really good.
They were so good. And like, we didn't even put that much Jameson into it. It was like maybe an ounce of Jameson into them.
I was super boozy at first, but then all of a sudden it almost like sank into the ice cream or whatever.
Mm-hmm. It just like complements it really nicely because Jameson in particular has these like grassy notes that like go really well with that minty flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would honestly like do it again.
Like, should I just start pairing booze with McDonald's milkshakes?
Honestly, is that our next like business venture?
Leave us a comment if you think this is what we should do. Should we have an Instagram where we just pair milkshakes?
Because at the moment, we're already batching cocktails, which is something that we didn't really talk about in the first episode. But if you know us, you know us. But like Fiona and I are already like batching like 90s themed cocktails.
Yeah.
Under I Drink the 90s. And it's been fun. It's just been like fun to like have that creative exploration to be like, how would we make like something taste like an orange creamsicle?
Or like a Capri Sun.
Yeah. So,
which honestly has given me the most trouble. The creamsicle came together very,
very fast. Very fast. Very fast. And y'all can, like, if you're in the LA area and if you want to try, just reach out to us and we'll let you know. Mm-hmm. We'll make that order happen for you.
Yeah, we'll send you a menu. And Saturdays are our pickup / delivery day. We deliver for $60 orders and over.
Yeah. We're kind of chill about it. Like, we'll work with you depending on like what the request is. Yeah, talk to us.
We'll have a powwow about it. Yeah, no, not a powwow. Sorry, that was really. I'm not supposed to say that.
No. Yeah, no.
Sorry.
Should we bleep that out?
Yeah, we can. I don't want to sound that insensitive.
Yeah, I know. but we were probably gonna. I'm probably gonna shake some Jameson over ice in a sec. I wish I had some sort of like, even like any sort of like vermouth or something for it. Also.
Honestly, like, if it were me, I would just have those old-fashioned bitters that I have at home and just make old-fashioned. Oh, my God.
I can't even. I wish I had some here.
It's the Fee Brothers old-fashioned bitters. They make the best old-fashions I've ever had in my entire life. What was it, Christmas? It was Christmas. Yeah. They were, like, the day before Christmas because we were...
Okay, so cocktails. Mm-hmm. The word cocktail mm-hmm. used to just be, as a recipe, sugar whiskey, bitters. Sugar, and yeah. bitters. Mm-hmm. So Fiona was making a cocktail mm-hmm. in its purest form. Because it was really good whiskey, muddled sugar, mm-hmm. and whiskey bitters, y'all.
They were old-fashioned. They're called old-fashioned bitters.
Old-fashioned bitters.
And they have like, the best spices. Like, it's the best, like, Christmas spice blend, essentially.
I have 5.
Oh, I wasn't counting. We were so hungover the next day. We were going on a road trip the next day.
Were we?
Yeah. The next day, I came over here, and I was so...
Wait, was this before or after the trip?
This was before the trip. This was the day before the trip.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I was so sick. I was so sick.
Well, Fiona, like, Fiona gets a little bit more, like, iffy when we start piling on food.
I'm a very alcohol. Sensitive.
She's a sensitive, digestive. Yeah. I'm not Superman either. I can't hold my own necessarily, but I don't remember being, I just remember so easily drinking all those drinks because usually with me, I can be kind of a lightweight, especially if I'm mixing between, like, wine and liquor, but I just remember how easy drinking those cocktails were, and I kept being like, can I have one more, which is something I'm really hesitant to ask when I'm drinking liquor.
They're so good.
Yeah, they're easy.
That, like, Fee Brothers old-fashioned bitters, all I'm saying is get them for your home because they will change your life.
Yeah, I actually have, like, a BevMo, like, cart, like, ready to go that's, like, what's in it? It's probably Montenegro Amaro, mm-hmm. Fee Brothers whiskey bitters, mm-hmm. Blood Orange bitters, I think also from Fee Brothers.
Oh, that sounds great. I need to get more grapefruit bitters because I was about to put grapefruit bitters in the strawberry kiwi and I didn't have any more. And I was like, what happened? It's because I've had it for 5 years.
Yeah, and like, it's just when you're a drink business, it's like that we're kind of like a drop shipping business where it's like we only want to buy the ingredients if people are buying the drinks, but it's also so nice to have some on hand when you want to R&D. Mm-hmm. Like when we were making our blue raspberry cocktail, there was something so missing. And then Fiona was like, oh, I actually have some Campari lying around. And, like, that sealed the deal. That made the drink. Because mm-hmm. initially we, like, created this, like, she had created this, like, blue raspberry simple syrup. And we had, like, some citrus. And we were utilizing this moonshine. Mm-hmm. And we were like, it's just not there yet. Yeah. So
it wasn't good.
Yeah, it was. It just felt empty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it's that, like, tartness of blue raspberry that was missing. And that's what the Campari kind of brought to
which
it.
Which has, like, that rhubarb, yeah. you know, that kind of, like, berries picked off of a bush.
Yeah.
Element gave body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Caitlin actually said that was her favorite of the two that we came out with that week.
Aww.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm happy that we're doing all these like endeavors together. Let's see. Should we do a little yeah. Jameson? How should we do it? I have honey. I could like shake it with some.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Actually. Okay. Cool.
Okay. He last year adopted this.
So your ex hated dogs but adopted a dog.
That's how much I fucked him up.
Well, no, or maybe he like came around to the idea of getting a dog. Like I'm allergic to cats, but I got a cat.
I'm also allergic to cats, but I love cats. I've never said that I don't love cats. He has vehemently said he does not like dogs.
People say things they don't mean. Yeah. All the time.
Like I love you.
No, shut up. People make, like, grand proclamations all the time.
Like, I love you.
No, but I mean even things about, based on their personality of, like, yeah, I could never live on the West Side. I could never. And then they see, like, a lease that's, like, by the beach. And they're like, well, you know what? I've never lived by the beach before. I might as well give it a shot.
And all of a sudden, you're right down the street from a really cute coffee shop.
Uh-huh.
And you're, like, walking the cat one day.
And you're like, I love the West Side.
I love the West Side.
Yeah, so it's hard to take people at their word. Mm-hmm. You just got to do you. And as a single person in LA during a pandemic, pets are great. I mean, it's like a lifelong commitment. That's why I recommend adopting an adult pet, because they need love too. Mm-hmm.
I'm just afraid of adopting a cat with like special needs, like a FIV cat.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much experience with that. I don't think...
A lot of the shelters that I've reached out to have been like, could you please adopt this sad, like, FIV cat? And anyone who doesn't know, it's feline AIDS.
No, I know. But
No,
but I know your scenario. I'm actually pretty shocked that these shelters are, like, making you pick a cat or, like, recommending you to pick one. Because with me, when I asked to adopt Coolidge, it was literally just, like, a web form where I was like, it was him. It was an ad for him. And I was like, can I have him? And they were like, yeah.
They didn't even do, like, they didn't make you do, like, an in-home, like, tour?
No, we met at a Petco that they're affiliated with down in San Juan Capistrano, and we just, like, hung out for a sec.
I've had to do, like, home tours.
Recent?
Yeah, like COVID, I'm on, like, my phone with them, showing them my home, like...
For real?
Yeah.
I swear you should check out San Juan Arc of Capistrano, because they were who I got the Coolidge through, and they were really cool.
They're incredibly concerned that I'm going to throw the cat out the window.
No, I mean, it's, like, pretty surprising that they're... Did they make you fill out an application, right?
And I like, fill out an application. Then they contact me.
Right. That's what I'm familiar with.
If they think that, like, I hit, you know, if they think that I'm not insane. And then we set up a time to have an in-home visit, which is a virtual in-home visit right now.
That's weird. I did not have to do that.
They were going to let me have a cat, but...
Who's they?
Saint-Dor. Over here in Los Feliz.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, they were lovely. It's just, like, the cat that I liked the most made me break out in hives.
Yeah, but your body usually adjusts from stuff like that, I feel like.
Not from this. Like, because when I had Simon, when I had the cat,
How recent is this?
2019.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, I don't remember you, like, observing a cat recently.
No, it was 2 years ago now. Because I've told you the story, but now I need to tell the world the story. My ex and I acquired a cat together, and he said, you should have the cat because you need to learn responsibility. And I thought to myself, no, I should have the cat because you're a sociopath. I took the cat, and then all of a sudden I was like, I'm traveling a lot this year, and also I keep breaking out in hives.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked to him and was like, hey, can you take the cat for a while?
I know.
And he was like, yeah. And then he used that as, like, leverage when I was like, hey, can we have a conversation about my allergies, because all of a sudden I'm not breaking out in hives all the time, and like I don't know that I can like have him in my space. And he said, I'm gonna bring him to a shelter if you don't come and take him. Yeah, no, this guy's crazy.
That's awful.
This guy's crazy. And I did not take his bluff. I called him and at his bluff, and I believe that Sci-Guy is still having a totally fine life.
Sci-Guy being Simon her cat. Yeah, but like,
well, like, Coolidge is,
Coolidge is my cat.
Is that okay?
They don't know the
name. Yeah, he's a Russian Blue, and so he doesn't make me, and it's like, my neighbor's cat is the same, he's a Russian Blue, and he doesn't make me break out in hives the way that, like, tabby cats do.
He's a Russian Blue.
Because they're better for people with allergies.
Yeah, exactly.
But the only Russian Blues, the only Russian Blues they had when I was looking at the shelter had FIV, and I was really anxious about that.
You just gotta keep looking.
Yeah.
Or, like, adopt the cat, you know, whatever. They're all good cats.
I know, it's just that
we're poor, and it's like, it'd be hard. Like, yeah.
I'll start a GoFundMe for my cat.
Knock on wood. Cooley hasn't had, like, any big, like, health issue or anything like that.
He's still young.
Yeah, he's 5 this year. Beep, beep.
I do need something to put my energy into, though. Like, life is hard. Like, we're in a pandemic. Like, you have a job that you're excited about. Like, I started a job that I thought was going to be a great way to get out of the service industry. It turns out it is not. It continues to be as fraught as any industry.
So bullshit.
Yeah, it's the worst, because they don't want to give me clients.
Shifts.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's the job anyway?
They're like, you can come to meetings and give no input. Great.
Oh my God.
I'd love to.
Get out.
I'd love to sit here being very hungover. Being asked very uncomfortable questions.
Baby!
You know, it's that. And then it's also like,
sorry, I'm distracted by my cat.
Coolidge does not necessarily, like, Coolidge kind of does what he wants.
Exactly, which is perfect for me.
He also, like, a lot of cats will come for the treat trick, you know, where you just, like, put your
fingers out. Oh, he does.
No, but, like, he's not.
Oh, he knows, he needs to hear something or smell something. He needs to hear it. Okay, but don't give it to him, because that's chocolate.
I don't have anything.
You don't have anything. Okay.
No, it was, It was the trick. So there's a cutting board here, and so it's the trick of like picking something up from the cutting board, pretending like I have something in my hand.
He did fall for that.
He's gonna start biting.
What a baby! He's my little roommate. What is it? We cuddle. Aw.
He's like, how dare you?
He's the light of my life. Aw, he's so cute. I just can't.
Yeah, I need a cat because things are hard.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I don't want to get dicked around anymore by anyone or anything.
Then you just need, like, a good, like, restaurant job. Because you're good at it. You need one that's, like, making money and you're working 3-4 days a week.
Yeah, but it's like we were talking earlier about serving is not the end game. We're not lifers.
Know, right. And it's hard when you're in some place that you care about and you want to make it better because all of a sudden you start to become a lifer in your head.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also... You haven't seen me in my, like, peak server right, where people are continue to, like, underestimate me and my abilities.
When Fiona and I worked together, Fiona basically got, like, promoted to manager real fast. So, like, we've never worked, like, in the same capacity together.
Mm-hmm. Lots of people in my life talk down to me and underestimate me. And I find it incredibly infuriating. And something that I have to work on is letting it go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a, like...
Kind of knowing what the goal at hand is.
Right.
Like, in a job setting like that... If that's happening everywhere, it's like, okay, I'm just going to make my coin, clock mm-hmm. in, clock out. I'm going to have fun with my friends. I'm going to save some cash, and I'm going to, like, build my own business or whatever.
I do a little bit think it's, like, the Aries in me where, like, I just, like, run at things, and then people are like, what are you doing? And I'm like...
The Leo in me is super stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
I also have, like, a Scorpio dominance in my chart. I have an 8th house dominance. And so... I don't necessarily need people to know that, like, I know my stuff, but if I get kind of questioned, I can kind of, I can stonewall people, for sure. I can be kind of, like, not necessarily hyper-conversational or, like, bubbly. I can mm-hmm. just be very, like, mm-hmm, yeah,
mm-hmm.
got it, cool. Short is the best way to explain yeah. it. And... That can make some people uncomfortable because I don't lead on to what I'm thinking.
Right, but that's a restaurant thing that you actually have to learn how to do. This is just about actually working in service and the interpersonal of it. I don't know when the shift happened, but like there was a shift in my time as a server where I felt the need to explain everything
to whom, like
to my manager at any given time. Actually, I probably know exactly which manager I had to flip it on. I know, I like, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh, that's when it started. So I had like, a specific manager who, like, couldn't pay attention long enough for me to tell the story.
ADHD kind of ish. Mm-hmm.
And so I had to get short. I had to be like, I need you to do this for me. And then he would ask why, and I said, we'll talk about it later.
I've had those managers, too. Yeah.
Like, I don't need, and that's why when I got another one of those at the very end of my time at my very special restaurant.
You, like, lacked patience with them, or...
I just didn't have the capacity to stand in the middle of service and talk for 20 minutes about what just happened when I had 800 other things to do.
It's so hard when someone, like, wants to just shoot the shit like that.
Let's talk about what just happened right there.
You're like, I have 5-6 tables right now.
What,
like,
are your priorities, man?
Yeah, like, just trust that I am, like, working in the benefit of this restaurant right now and I need to go.
It always feels very undermining, and, like, that's what I have a hard time with. I have a hard time with people who, like, want to have a dick contest. What is it?
This is the second episode where you're talking about dick measuring.
Yeah. I'm a very masculine woman.
Are we bringing this up every episode?
I have a problem with dick measuring, okay? Because, like, I don't want to play the game because I don't have a dick.
Yeah, I mean...
I can play the bitch measuring contest mm-hmm. where I will win.
I guess, yeah, I mean... I've gone through, like, multiple versions of myself, and right now I'm just tired. I'm tired and I'm good. I'm good at what I do and I'm tired. And I like certain aspects, and certain aspects are so exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal is just to, like, go do a good job and leave.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have different experiences about that because you really care.
Mm-hmm. Like, far too much. Like, yeah. our friend. And I...
We can leave it out, yeah.
A friend of ours from our previous restaurant and I have had many conversations where it's really hard for she and I to... like, not give it 100% all of the time because we care too much about, like, what we do. And it's not even just restaurants. It's, like, literally anything that we do, we take a lot of pride in.
Yeah.
And this is something else that I said. This person that I was seeing a couple years ago, like, told me, like, I have too much pride. And I was like, screw you. I don't have any pride. I'm not prideful.
You, like, facetiously, you mean?
No, I didn't realize how much pride I have in what I do.
Oh, okay.
Like,
got it.
I also, Cards on the Table, have a ton of self-hatred. And so I don't see I don't see any of the qualities of myself.
Okay. Ever.
And yeah. So to be like called out like that, I was like, that's ridiculous. Like, I don't.
I'm sorry, real quick. We're both watching Mr. Mayor on NBC, and when Fiona just said that, I wanted to be, thank you for telling me that. And the daughter's like, is that all you're going to say? Thank you for telling me that. Anyway, continue.
Thank you for telling me that. Yeah, I didn't see it. I honestly, legitimately didn't see it. Because I didn't understand what that pride, like, I didn't understand what pride meant.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought pride meant that I, not only did I care, but, like, I knew that I cared, and I knew that what I was doing was right. Like, I think that, like, yeah. I don't know.
It's like, oh, I should stand up to, like, what's right. And everyone's like, why do you care so much? This is just a job.
Yeah. And like, that was literally everything that ever happened to me at my...
And you're like, well, if this doesn't matter, what else doesn't matter? You're like...
Nothing in my... Like,
you can literally be like, nothing else.
Nothing in my life mattered at that point because I was so depressed.
Right. But, like, it doesn't help when people are telling you, like, this doesn't matter either.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, I'm trying to make at least one thing matter. And you're, like, reducing the thing I care about right now to nothing also.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's... With a gig like this, it's, like, it's so hard to, like, put all your chips into it. Because there's going to be letdowns. Mm-hmm. It's just the nature of it.
I feel like that's all jobs. That's life.
Yeah. And your passion projects and your relationships, I feel like, are the things you should put your stock into.
Clearly not all of my relationships.
Well, right. But that's a whole nother episode, honestly. We don't have that time today. So we should rate this wine. We didn't rate the cuvées and all that.
We're rating it out of 5?
Yeah, our super subjective Anthony Fiona rating. Mm, I burped.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna give it somewhere around a 3, but yeah.
Ooh, that's like high.
Like, I mean, I'm also not
for what it is.
For what it is, like, I'm also not like. Like, I'm putting it in its own category. Like having.
Well, that's what we need to ask. Are we putting these wines into their own categories, or are we asking ourselves about them on a large
On a larger scale, I need it to be out of 10.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's really hard. So yeah, okay. So if we're putting this at like a expensive Burgundy to
yeah, like, great. It's too hard. It's really way hard. Too hard to do it on its own. So you kind of have to do it for itself. So
I would say like a 3.
Other French Malbecs.
Like, not only, like, French Malbec that you can buy at your local liquor store.
Oh my god, that's so specific.
Like, yeah, no, if we're judging this against, like, other French Malbecs, like, yeah, 286.
It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm down. I don't care too much. I have no stake in this. I have no pride. I'm just kidding. Trying to create.
I have too much pride.
Parallels, yeah. But yeah.
It's good enough to buy.
Mm-hmm. It's good enough to buy. That's what every ad should say for anything. Every product ever advertised should be good enough to buy. Yeah.
There was a moment earlier today where...
I feel like, and that's the episode.
I was talking to a friend about... they were auditioning for the new Masterclass commercials.
Like, as what? Like, a student?
No, so they're doing, you know, the eBay thing where it's like, and then you bought this, and then you bought that, and then you bought this, and then you had to, like, now you're selling stuff. Like, it's, the copy, I can't say the copy because I'm sure it's, like, proprietary. It's, like,
too specific.
Yeah.
So, basically, it's someone who's buying and selling on the internet?
No, it's telling a story.
They're the teacher?
No, so I would say it's more like a State Farm commercial of, like, what happens when you, like, have been in, you know... In school.
So they're like the person in the commercial.
They're not the person in the commercial, but they are the voice of the person in the commercial.
Okay, they're the narrator of the commercial for Masterclass.
Yeah. And it's telling a story as opposed to like the teacher.
Okay, so it's like, I was a student and I didn't know how to do this.
Never mind, let's cut all this because like I can't actually say it because it's proprietary.
Got it.
Yeah, so cut all the Masterclass stuff.
or just like, let's just like leave it in and just leave it vague. And that's our episode.
Guys.
Thank you so much, everyone. We love you, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We'll be drinking with you soon.
Cheers.
Sláinte. Cilantro?
Sláinte. It's the Irish cheers, Anthony.
Oh, okay. Got it. Sláinte.
Let's just do it. Grazie.
Well, okay.
Grazie.
Prego.
That sounds great.
Well, it's also the, like, you're welcome in Italian.
I know that, Anthony.
Oh, okay.
Grazie.
Prego.
I love that sauce, don't you?
Well, it's also, like, you're welcome in Italian.
I know.
Oh, okay. Cool. Hey everybody, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Feel free to follow us anywhere you listen to podcasts and on Instagram at ThatSomTalk. That's ThatSomTalk. And we will be seeing y'all soon. Keep drinking wine, y'all.